the following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 18, text number 66. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on December 7th, 2012, in Solferino, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Te Vasudevaya. Sarvadharman Parityajya.
Sarvadharman Parityajya.
Mamekam Sharanam Vraja.
Mamekam Sharanam Vraja.
Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo.
Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo.
Mokshayishyami ma
shucha.
Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam. Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pushchitate Shadale. So Krishna is presenting the universal religion. Where's the translator? Oh, it's a running translation. Oh, okay. All right. Some people foolishly think that Bhagavad Gita is something sectarian. Sectarian means a particular religion. But actually, this is not a particular religion. Actually, there is only one religion. That's to become a lover of God. Some may love God as Allah, as Christ, as Buddha, as Krishna. That's all right. God is one. Just like the sun has many names according to the different languages of the world, but yet the sun is one. You can't say there are different suns. To feel the warmth of the sun is the same experience. It doesn't matter what country you may be in. When you feel the warmth of the sun, it is the same experience. You may call it different things in different languages, but it's the same experience. So one who is actually loving God, who has become lover of God, it is the same experience. The name is not important. It is the feeling that is important. So, Prabhupada is not giving another sect of religion. He is giving the pure essence of religion that is equally applicable to everyone. Therefore, if a Muslim reads Bhagavad Gita, he becomes a better Muslim. If a Christian reads Bhagavad Gita, he becomes a better Christian. If a Buddhist reads Bhagavad Gita, he becomes a better Buddhist. Not that they have to give up Buddha or Christ or Allah, but they become perfect in their devotion to Allah, Christ or Buddha by following Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, this is not a sectarian dogma. This is the science of the soul in its relationship with the Supreme Soul, the source of all existence. There is a source for the existence. It doesn't come out of nothing. The atheists want us to believe that everything came out of nothing. But I ask you, is that scientific? Can you prove in a laboratory that something can come out of nothing? We can show in the laboratory that something comes from something. But where is the scientific experiment where they can show that something comes out of nothing? Therefore, to be theist, a believer in God, that is scientific. To be an atheist, a disbeliever in God, that is not scientific. Do you understand? To not believe in the source of existence means you're not being scientific. You're being dogmatic. You're accepting something on blind faith. Someone says there is no God, and you think, oh yes, there is no God. But where's the proof that something can come out of nothing? We can prove the opposite. Anyone can prove. It's like, here's some light. See the light? It comes from a flashlight, you see. It didn't come out of nothing. So everything comes from something. And the original something, that is God. To say something, things come out of nothing, is foolishness. But that is now being accepted by the modern day so-called scholars, you see. Why? Because they don't want to take any responsibility for their actions. They want to be able to commit all varieties of sinful activities and not be punished. So they imagine that there is no God, you see. That they would have to be punished for all their sinful activities. It's intolerable for them. Therefore, they imagine that there is no punishment at the end. There's no God to judge them. You see? It is simply their imagination. It gives them some temporary happiness. That now I can enjoy. There is no God. I don't have to worry. I can do anything I want, and there's no reaction. They get to be happy for some time, you see, in their illusion. But when they are hauled by the Yamadutas to the court of Yamaraj, they regret their atheism very, very greatly. They will very deeply, deeply regret their atheism at the time of death. Now they have to pay for all of their sinful activities. A God-conscious person understands I must follow moral principles because God will punish me. Just take an ordinary citizen here in Mauritius, you see. One man, he understands there is a government here, Mauritian government. I must obey the laws. So he does nicely. He gets education, he gets employment. He does nicely. He has a good, happy life, you see. Another man, he's like a barking dog. He says, "Ruff, ruff, ruff." There is no government. I am the government. You see? He does whatever he wants. It's like barking dog. We hear this dog barking. He reminds us of the atheists. They are simply barking dogs. I am the authority. You do what I say. There is no God. You see? I am God. They're saying, I am God. That's what they're saying, really. They're saying, I am God. You see? I am the authority. I am the supreme authority. So the other citizen, he refuses to acknowledge that there's a Mauritian government. And he does whatever he wants without caring about any laws. So where does he end up? In the prison. The dog is the welcoming committee. Every person comes, the dog welcomes them. So, in this way, we can see the difference. The law-abiding citizen and the criminal. The theist, he is law-abiding citizen. The atheist, he is the criminal. So we can understand what is the position of those who believe in God and what is the position of those who deny the existence of God. So I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah, the atheist, he's like a barking dog, simply creates disturbance, you see. Ruff, 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 there is no God. Ruff, ruff, ruff. Simply creating disturbance.
Dogs, then how is it that people are just following them?
If the atheists are just like dogs, then how the people there are following them? Have you not heard in the neighborhood when one dog barks, all the other dogs bark? That's what they do. So those who follow the atheists, they are like dogs. One dog barks, there is no God. The other dogs also bark, there is no God. That's a barking dogs, that's a... One dog barks, and then many, many dogs echo that original barking dog throughout the neighborhood. We've all heard. Luckily tonight, there's only one dog. There's not a whole chorus of dogs out there. But if there were other dogs who were hearing this, they would bark also, you see. The dogs, they like to bark together. That's their pleasure pastime. When one dog barks, all the dogs bark. That's their feeling of camaraderie with each other. We are the dog family. I am dog, so when other dog barks, I also bark.
Who creates dogs?
Who creates dogs? Brahmaji creates all the species. Lord Brahma. Okay, here's a question. In the Gita, Lord Krishna says that those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. How is this possible? Because a ancestor would eventually get another body. Scattered around the universe. Well, it's an interesting thing. What if your ancestor becomes a dog? You could become a dog. and join your ancestors. My great-grandfather became a dog, so now I'll become a dog along with him.
This is the first time, Sri Gaur. There was one drunk man. Somebody told him, don't drink, otherwise you'll go to hell. So he said, my father drinks, my brother drinks.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one story. Bhagavad gave one story. Can you shut these windows where the dog is barking is not so loud? Shut the windows. Oh, he's over on this side. Oh, then it's useless. Forget him. It won't help. Don't worry about him. I see it. There's no way to shut the open side. So, one man, he was told, oh, you drink. Therefore, you will go to hell. He said, yes. What can I do? But my father also drinks. And he said, well, your father will go to hell. And my grandfather also drinks. Your grandfather will go to hell. My mother drinks. Oh, she will go to hell. My brother, my sister, everyone drinks. My uncle, my cousins, we all drink. So you all go to hell. He said, oh, then hell will be heaven. We will all drink together in hell. Is he? So the soul is indestructible. When the soul goes to Yamaraj, it suffers for all its sins. Does the soul feel the suffering? Just like you feel suffering now, you will feel suffering when you go to Yamaraj. How do we know we are progressing in Krishna consciousness? If you are losing your attachment to material sense gratification, then you are advancing in Krishna consciousness. In the verse 1866, Krishna says, do not fear, but in Kali Yuga people still fear to surrender to Krishna. Can you kindly enlighten us why? It is due to the propaganda of the impersonalists and the atheists that people are afraid to surrender. Therefore, the devotees must take over all the educational institutions, and then there will be no fear. What is the source of impurities? It is the shadow of the chit potency of Krishna. How come we have become so impure? Because we have not chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Enough, we haven't chanted enough. Why is it more exciting to break the rule rather than being forced to abide by the rule? This question belies the questioner's ignorance, actually. Actually, they are being forced by the modes of nature to break the rules. They're breaking the rules under force of the modes of nature. They're breaking their religious principles, illicit sex, intoxication, media, and gambling, under the force of the three modes of material nature. Although in the beginning, abiding by the rules may appear to be force, once you become a little fixed up, it is spontaneous love. It is not force. And it's not more exciting to break the rules. It's miserable to break the rules. It's more exciting to follow the rules. This question is full of ignorance. Many people believe in God, but still some do not practice any devotional service. What will happen to them after the time of death? It depends on what they're thinking of, you know. If they're thinking of their beloved dog, well, they'll become a member of a, they'll become a dog in the next birth. Yam yam bhavismanam bhavam jayantyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhavabhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail, O Sanam Kunti. So they approach God to serve them. They're more interested in the material. Dear, my dear God, please give me a dog. Please give me a car. Please give me this. You see? They're not interested in God. They're interested in getting that thing. That thing is more important to them than God. At night, when the body is sleeping, it is said to be in total ignorance. So why is it that when someone is subjected to wet dreams, he or she is held responsible? Women don't have wet dreams, so far as I've heard. And that this question is assuming that, that someone who is having wet dreams is responsible. Well, in one sense, because if one is meditating on sex life during the day, then one may have a wet dream at night to fill his desire for sex in a roundabout way. Okay, any other questions? But if you will chant Hare Krishna, you won't have, the wet dreams will go away, you'll dream about Krishna. Prabhupada, I recently, when I was in Vrindavan, recently, several months ago, or several weeks ago, I don't know, during the October, yes, I was in Vrindavan. And I found one letter that Prabhupada had written to some devotees in Japan. Not devotees, but some boys who were interested in Krishna consciousness. He advised that they should chant Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day. He said, when you're walking down the street, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. When you're riding the bus, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. When you're doing something with your hands, Hare Krishna, Hare, chopping vegetables, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you see. When you're taking bath, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. When you're going to take rest, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada is advising to always chant. So I was thinking, this sounds like a very powerful instruction. So I was thinking, maybe I should try this. But the mind was saying, oh, don't be a fanatic, Sakarshan Das. You've already chanted your 16 rounds. I mean, don't get into this too much. I mean, you know, give your mind some freedom to wander here and there all over the material nature. I mean, why are you trying to completely bring your mind under control? I mean, the mind was objecting. Why are you trying to do this to me? Let me, give me some freedom, will you? Don't give me 24 hours a day of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. All I knew, the mind was nonsense, you see. I knew that actually Prabhupada was right. And I never really tried it before, but I said, oh, okay, I'm just going to try this, you know. I'm going to try chanting Hare Krishna at every, you know, whenever I'm, as much as possible during the day when I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Just keep the mantra going, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. With the beads or without the beads, doesn't matter. Well, the beads mean 16, at least 16 rounds on the beads. But then after that, how much time is there in the day? Let's say you chant 1.5-2 hours on your beads. There's 22 hours more. and let's say 6 hours in sleep, but still, 22 minus 6, what is it? 16 hours, huh? There's still 16 hours you could be chanting when you're walking down the street. So I just tried it. Let me do some more chanting. And it was very wonderful. When there's nothing, when you're happy, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. When you're feeling happy, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Krishna. Suke duke bulo. That very nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In happiness or distress, always going and chanting Hare Krishna. So if you're happy, chant Hare Krishna. If you're miserable, chant Hare Krishna. If you're feeling intelligent, chant Hare Krishna. If you're feeling like a fool, chant Hare Krishna. If your mind is peaceful, chant Hare Krishna. If you're angry, chant Hare Krishna. In all circumstances, good, bad, beautiful, ugly. If you're healthy, chant Hare Krishna. If you're sick, chant Hare Krishna. If you've just been born, chant Hare Krishna. If you're on your deathbed, chant Hare Krishna. We just saw one devotee who just recently died. You see, she was in a horrible condition, and I was realizing we're all in the queue to be in her position on the deathbed. Every one of us is waiting our turn to get on the deathbed. Are you ready? Are you ready for the deathbed? We're all heading that way. So what's the preparation? You have to be Krishna conscious. And the more you chant, the more you become prepared. We're all getting ready for the deathbed, every one of us. If you're Krishna conscious, you will go to Krishna. If not, you will take another material body which is subject to these miseries. So, therefore, the more we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Not just when we're asked to chant, but on our own. Even when you're laying there to go to sleep in the bed, you can be going, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I was just on the airplane coming, a 12-hour flight from London. And I've been very sick also, very, very sick. But I got up, I chanted my rounds, but still I was thinking I can just keep chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. As soon as you chant, you become, or I mean to say in this way, the more you chant, the more you become enchanted with Krishna. And the more you become enchanted with Krishna, the less you become enchanted with Maya, material sense gratification. My dear ladies and gentlemen, at the present moment, our problem is we are enchanted by material sense gratification. That is a fact. Every one of us, we are enchanted by material sense gratification. We're attracted to it. We're bewildered by it. The only way out is to become enchanted by Krishna. The only way to become free from the enchantment of Maya is to become enchanted by Krishna. And there's only one way to become enchanted by Krishna, and that is chanting, 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 chanting. In this age, Haranama, 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 Ivakevalam. So how much you chant, that's how much you'll advance in Krishna consciousness. That's how much you'll become free from material desires. So don't stop at 16 rounds. We say chant at least 16 rounds, isn't it? So don't stop at 16. You can chant on the beads, off the beads, but keep the chant as much as possible 24 hours a day. That's the secret of how to become enchanted by Krishna and to become free for the enchantment, free from the enchantment of Maya. This is the realization I had in Vrindavan. Anything else? You want to add some points, G?
No, another question. When Maya is so enchanting, then why should we have to give it up?
When Maya is so enchanting, why give it up? Why not just remain enchanted by Maya?
Why do we remain?
Huh? Why do we remain enchanted by Maya?
Why do we have to give up?
Why do we have to give up our enchantment with Maya? Well, you don't have to. If you want to remain enchanted by Maya, you can do that. But Maya will keep you in the lower dimensional reality of birth, death, old age, disease. If you prefer to be a slave of Maya Devi, you can do it. No one's going to stop you. If you want to serve your tongue, your belly, your genitals, and that's more important than you want to serve your material senses, you can do it. You don't have to give it up. But an intelligent person realizes this Indriya Seva, service to my senses under the influence of Maya, is causing me nothing but misery. You see, I spend my whole life serving these senses, and what do I get? Old age, disease, and death. That's the only result. So why should I keep serving like this? A slave of a cruel master. I spend the whole life serving the body. What does it give me? Old age, disease, and death. Is it worth it? This is the realization I had when I was a college kid. Here I am working hard to make good grades. I was an honor student. I made very good grades in college. Here I am working hard to make good grades, to get a good degree, to get a good wife, to get some good kids, to get a good car, to get a good house, and get a good grave. A nice coffin, you know. In America, we cremation is not the standard. Burial is the standard. They get a very nice coffin with nice velvet lining, you know, a beautiful coffin with fancy handles and everything. And to be buried 6 feet under the ground, and once a year, I have some very nice flowers put on top of my grave until people forget about me. It just didn't seem worth it. Life, I said, this isn't enough. You know what? This doesn't give me the motivation. All I'm working for is a good grave, a nice, beautiful coffin. That's all I'm working for. All this hard work is to get a nice coffin. You see? It's not worth it. So I began searching for knowledge, you see, how to get out of this trap. I couldn't believe that God was so cruel that the only thing you get is a coffin, nothing beyond it. I couldn't believe that life, God is so cruel. Why? Because flowers are so beautiful. If flowers are so beautiful, God couldn't be so cruel. You see? You see, a Hitler couldn't design a lotus flower, you see. If God is a Hitler, he cannot design the lotus flower, you see. Anyone who can just make a lotus flower, he must have love. So, you see, therefore, God must be loving. And there has to be more than the crematorium or the coffin, you see. There has to be more than that. So I went on a quest, and I found it by Krishna's grace. I'm writing an autobiography now, my quest. How I found it. I got the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So I guess we're anything else? Maybe we can end. Oh yes? All right, one last question and you have the Gita's, okay?
I'm just reading a book from Shrutakirti.
He's reading the book from Shrutakirti Prabhu.
What about, I've heard, he has a nice book, yes.
What is the difficulty in the title? What's the difficulty?
The title is What is the Difficulty?
Yes.
So there, somebody asked a question to Prabhupada that where are those huge mountains which Krishna and Balaram jumped from?
Jump from?
Mountain. Huge mountain.
Where is the mountain?
Yeah.
And what is Prabhupada's answer?
Prabhupada answered, it is in the sky.
It is in the sky?
I could not get this, so I'm just humbly, requesting what did Prabhupada.
You think I can give a better answer than Prabhupada?
No, I don't mean that, but I just want an understanding of that.
You want to know the answer? It's in the, like Prabhupada said, the mountain in the sky. You think mountains, there are no mountains in the sky? There's so many, the mountains can also fly in the sky. You didn't know that? The mountains can fly as well. Just like birds can fly, mountains can also fly. You didn't know there's flying mountains?
Maybe. We are so impersonal.
It's not.
Yeah, mountains can fly.
Like Prabhupada said, when we say Krishna lifted the mountain.
Huh?
When Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, we think maybe.
Govardhan was able to travel on the raised hand of Palashya Muni. Mountains can travel also, yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. And now you have an announcement about Gita. Okay, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Shivan Shankarshan Das Vikari Maharaj ki
jai.